Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. I got my handy dandy Seahawks cup and my handy dandy Seahawks outfit on today. It is Blue Friday, and that means we are also looking at astrology for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. We have a lot to get into. Now, it's not just because we have a lot to get into doesn't mean that we're in for a crazy weekend, because that's not necessarily true. There's just a lot of little subtle things and a couple of, you know, big things to talk about. But overall, I feel like this might be a really good weekend, as we don't, every time I say that, then something major happens. But there are a lot of minor things happening, a couple of blips on the screen, and then for the most part, the weekend, depending on your idea of what a weekend should hold for you, it might just be one of being able to get things done and also being able to be together with people that you love. So let's dive in and see what we've got. First, let's say good morning, Elisa, and good morning to Rebecca, or good afternoon to Rebecca. I always forget you're in Europe. Good morning, Laura Passkammer. It's great to see you as well. And anybody else who's just joining us, Amy Moore, and I'm sure there will be others as the time goes on here. And interesting day. Good God. So far in this morning, so much has happened. So much subtle things have happened. And to me, that usually happens when the moon changes signs. And it was really early this morning. The moon moved out of Sagittarius into Capricorn. So we start our day in the more serious, work-oriented, goal-oriented sign of Capricorn. And so because we have a lot to get to today, let's just dive in. If you have questions, please, 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 please write them here, and I will do my best to get to them during the morning. If I don't, I may have to answer questions later on this weekend. So Amy says, good morning. I woke up on time. Yay. Good morning, Jan Landry. Great to see you. So let's look at what the moon in Capricorn is all about. First, it will be in a trine to the planet Uranus today. Smooth flow between awakening and surprises and that aha energy with the moon, being able to put it to good use, put it to work, right? So ahas today or awakening today may be able to provide you solutions to problems or issues that you've been grappling with. The moon will also be in a sextile to the sun. They work well together in a sextile, right? The sun over in the sign of Scorpio, while the moon is in the sign of Capricorn, usually means that whatever it is that we've been working on deep within us, at least as it is the sun and other planets, Mercury retrograde now in Scorpio, bringing up these deeper things, these issues, the vestiges of things, of grievances, emotional hurts, wounds, ancestral information coming up for us to be cleared. And the sun and the moon work well together in this instance to be able to help you claim your authority and to be looking at living your life in authenticity. So to me, that's a really great combination of planets for the day, even though Uranus sometimes brings all of that unexpected. You don't know what's going to happen. So be prepared for anything, right? Be prepared for everything, right? That's all you can do in this case. But I did think it was really interesting to note where the moon sits today in your human design, because there's something that's sort of upside down that I think happens when the moon moves through the early parts of Capricorn. And that is the moon or any planet in the early degrees of Capricorn sits at the gate 58 in your human design. Let me show you. I did print the day's chart. What did I do? Here it is. So here's today's human design chart. You can see we don't have much body energy going on, right? Everything today is up here in the head. And that tells us that we've got to get out of our heads, right? That we can use that energy for good, but we also could get into a rut of thinking and what have you. I don't know why my camera gets clear and then it gets blurry again. Like it's having trouble focusing, but there we go. That's what it looks like. And the gate 58 is very far away from where those defined centers are. So the defined center's up here in the head, but gate 58 down here on the root center. Capricorn, usually we think of as being more serious minded, right? More responsible and more in the authority. But the gate 58 with the moon there is about joy and vitality and the gift of joy and bliss, right? That's the highest expression in this gate. So we're kind of asked to be, you know, appropriately serious toward the things that need to be serious, the work we're doing perhaps, or serious about setting goals, or, you know, getting, being responsible. And yet we have to carry all of that on in a spirit of joy and excitement or vitality. And I just find that interesting, right? Because so many times when, because the ruling planet for Capricorn is Saturn, and Saturn is often taciturn and stern and authoritarian. And now those are the qualities that we often subscribe to the planet Saturn, but then it sits here in a sign it rules at the gate of joy. Interesting, right? I just find that fascinating. So moving through our day, and although we may be faced with things that are serious, a very foundational energy of us as being human beings, it's in the root center, is about joy, is about the expression of bliss and that vitality and excitement in living life. I think that's so funny. Karen Devine, good morning. And Debbie Hedden, good morning to you. Great to see you ladies out there joining us. So let's take a look now at what the Capricorn moon means for us and what are some of the things that we'll focus on for the next couple of days. For one, the Capricorn moon in the sign that Saturn rules talks about substance, the physical world, the physical realm. Things like goals or your life goals, being resourceful. And that means maybe being conservative in some respects, being a good steward of your resources, both your personal resources and the natural resources. Embracing the idea of endurance and perseverance, holding true to something, right? Being loyal to something. And also, timing. In every astrological thing that you look at about this, the planet Saturn, which is the ruler of Capricorn, you see an element of timing, right timing, divine right timing, having to wait through time in order to get something. Timing is huge when it comes to the planet Saturn and the sign of Capricorn, but the moon is also a timekeeper. It is the fastest moving body in our sky, so we are always seeing a different face or a different phase of the moon, and that is also about the key instances where timing comes into play, the timing of life cycles, the natural progression of time. So timing is of utmost importance here for the next couple of days too. So you may find yourself in a position of wanting something now or needing something to happen now. But the reminder here is that everything happens in divine right timing, and that we need to be careful that we don't get into a position or an energy of force where we're trying to push something to happen or make something happen. So pay attention for that one. The Capricorn moon also rules status and authority, and in that, success and recognition. But also, because of the moon's involvement here, it is connection to the public, the greater public. So, for example, if you are a politician, or if you are someone who is a speaker or a teacher, and you're always working with the public, now is a time for you to seek that deeper connection to the public or to your audience. You could say audience just as well. For purposes of success and recognition, being able to be seen as an authority in whatever your relative subject is. And in your own life, even if you're not connecting with the public in a big way, like, for example, a teacher or somebody that's on the world stage or a politician, even in your own life, you are working with people somewhere, whether it's your family members, maybe your children, maybe you work on the weekends, or you work and you have, you know, either contact through customer service type things, or maybe just with other employees. But it's always a reminder here to be in connection with people, to make that connection. not to stand apart, but to be all in with that. And as such, of course, Capricorn Moon brings up responsibility and our commitment to something, our commitment to a relationship, our commitment to a program we're doing, a commitment to each other, our commitment to the earth, right? Whatever it is, being committed and having a certain sense of maturity, let's say, in the way that you go about that connection with people. So commitment and responsibility linked together. Without commitment, you are half-heartedly engaged in something. And in human design in particular, we see that that creates a lot of trouble in your relationship to the people that are also involved in something with you. Anyway, so commitment, maturity, responsibility, responsibility. So being able to be in response to something and not in reaction to something. We have a little bit of a quibble thing going on here in our neighborhood. And it's interesting to watch how the parties involved, I'm kind of on the outside looking in, but the parties involved keep wanting to make this bigger. And one will do something sort of passive aggressively that triggers the other. And the other goes to, you know, someone else and right. It's craziness. But we have to be responsible for our own parts in all of these dramas that are playing out. And even if I'm on the outside looking in, I don't have to feed my energy into that squabble that's going on. It doesn't involve me. So responsible behavior on my part would be to keep as calm and cool and outside of the fray as possible, unless something directly affects me and I get called into it. Because otherwise, this isn't my battle. And remembering that, right? Because sometimes we all get drawn in to these trauma dramas in other people's lives, and it might not even be your responsibility to be a part of that, right? So watching out for that. Also watching out for being too serious. That happens a lot when the moon is in Capricorn, because Saturn gets, as you know, Saturn, Pluto, South Node, all in the sign of Capricorn. And that means the moon is going to be conjuncting them, coming into an exact, you know, sharing of space with the moon will be with Saturn and Pluto in the South Node over the next day. And when that happens, often we get pulled into a lull, or we get pulled into, what do I call that? A sort of melancholic state. And you have to understand that's all a part of the creative process. It doesn't mean that you're suddenly depressed. You may just be feeling more tired. You may need more self-love, more caring, nurturing. So remember not to take things too serious, even if it is a mood that you are experiencing during the weekend. We have to watch out also for being overly authoritative. The energy, this is why what we see out in our outer world are questions about dictatorship. And you see parallels being drawn, especially in this country right now, with the thought that the president thinks of himself as an authoritarian, and he doesn't understand that we have these three levels of government: executive branch, judicial branch, and the congressional branch, or the legislative branch. And he thinks that as the president, he has all the power to do whatever it is he wants. And it just really grates at him that he can't do that. Well, our forefathers, brilliant as they were, set that up so that we would never fall into that authoritarian trap. And Capricorn energy is very authoritative energy. And so this is why that particular subject gets drawn in, why we would even think that our democracy is under assault, because of course these authoritarian energies are very present on the planet right now. So watching out for that in your own life. Where are you trying to play the authoritarian and not listening to the other people, or not giving things due process, or working through things like they are meant to be worked through? And of course, then we also have rigidity to watch out for, because we have a tendency to be overly rigid, get stuck in a path, get stuck in a holding pattern in this kind of energy. So being able to loosen up, wiggle around, be a little bit joyful, and remember that this too shall pass if you start feeling a little bit of that down energy. And of course, then Oh, let's see what else is happening today. We have the Pleiadian Earth energy is one transcending. We had the 13 day yesterday where we came to the ending of the week, and we are now in the next path. We've ascended up to the next level, and that next level, the next 13 days, resonate with the energy of transcending. So even though each day has its own energy, the energy of the one day sort of permeates all of the days of that week. I hope that makes sense. So for example, like the sun moves into Scorpio, and even though it may connect with other planets during its transit or other planets even in your own chart, that energy of Scorpio still holds sway. Well, one transcending energy is what we will be holding with for the 13-day period, even though we move into other things. And transcending in the Mayan calendar was Kimi, and C-I-M-I, and it was represented by the skull. Sometimes it was represented by a vulture. And it was literally this energy of regeneration, of rebirth, of transcending differences. So the earth energy of transcending is about overcoming differences, being able to see all sides of things and transcend to the next level, right? Being able to move up and to be able to see things from a different perspective, letting go of what no longer serves you, right? Not holding on so tightly, to be able to just release. And inappropriate hesitation is another worry for the day, in that we may hesitate. We may get into our minds. When I saw the human design chart with the head and ajna defined, those of us that have an open head and an open ajna now may suddenly feel caught up in a thinking pattern. And we may want to have to remember not to be paying attention to so much about what's going on in the mind. The mind is not the decision-making capacity for us, for anyone on the planet. No one is designed to make decisions from their mind. So the mind is meant to be used to compare and contrast and recall memory and data, criticizing and analyzing, critical thinking and all of that kind of thing, but not to make the decisions, right? Just to think. So you've got to move into your body to make decisions. So if you're hesitating on something that you know you need to decide about, likely you've gotten into your head. And so you need to move out of the head and into the body, to the source of your true decision-making, to be able to move forward. So if you find that happening, get your human design chart and find out what your authority is. It's likely emotional or splenic or sacral, maybe ego, definitely energies from below the neck, right? In the body that tell you how to make the decision or what the right decision would be. The energy of one, which is the universal energy of the day. The universal energy means that all life forms on the planet, whether it's the tiniest germ to the biggest trees, to humans, to elephants, and also life on any other planets, would all resonate to this one energy of initiating and of starting something new. So, wow, right? We have a really interesting day on tap. On top of that, it's like all of the energy of the weekend is piled up today. So we take today, we also have Venus moving out of Scorpio and into Sagittarius, thus changing the feel of our values, of our money, and our relationships. And I kind of like Venus in Sagittarius. She's more the philosopher here. She's very self-educated here, and she looks for deeper meaning and deeper knowledge while she's moving through this sign. So for example, if you're thinking about investing in something or purchasing something, this is a time for you then, before you spend those dollars, to really look deep into that product or that purchase that you want to make, making sure that you know all the sides of it. Venus in Sagittarius is also kind of a warning for us in our relationships to make sure we're not overly blunt, that we're not outwardly saying things that it might feel good to you to say, but might be the source of pain or wounding for other people. Sagittarians, they're blunt. They say it like it is. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes that means that there's a very small filter between you and those words, and they can come out and feel to the other person like a wound. So take care with what it is that you say to one another this weekend. And from now until November 25th, while Venus is in Sagittarius. And there's this feel too with Sagittarian energy of the philosopher, right? The philosopher. So being able to rise up and find the more spiritual precepts and concepts, and maybe doing some truth seeking, the capital T truth seeking in everything in your life, asking more and more of yourself. One caution, I guess you could say, Venus, as it rules money, is in a position of a sign that is magnifying things, that is optimistic, and that sees the big picture. And at some point, Venus here will put herself in a conjunction to Jupiter, and that might mean overspending, overdoing, and overcompensating. And so anything that you could put the word over in front of, especially in your relationships or in your money, or even in what it is that you value, can be a source of problems. So you want to watch that as the month goes on, that you're not, that everything within boundaries kind of relate to that conservative or good stewardship energy, the resourcefulness energy, because in the heat of the moment, Venus and Sagittarius can have us totally forgetting that we have a budget. So watch out for that. Otherwise, Venus in Sagittarius is very vocal, sociable, outgoing, loves the idea of getting together with people, is adventurous and exploring. So there's some really fun energies here as well, with just a couple of things to watch out for. Awesome. All right. So that's all Friday. Let's look at Saturday. First, let me see if anybody has questions. Good morning, Colleen and Marissa and Jennifer Chupp and Karen. Oh, I said hello to you, Karen. Catherine Worcester, good morning. Marissa says good morning to everybody. Mary, good morning to you. Monica Hill, good morning. And Laura says, may I have a WOTO reading if you have time this morning? I'm going to put your name down, Laura. Laura, WOTO. I may just have some time, but I might not be able to do as many as I usually do on a Friday because I have way more stuff to talk about. So on Saturday, moon in Capricorn still, but here is the day of the weekend where things are going to get a little bit iffy. If they're going to get iffy, tomorrow's going to be that day. And that's because the moon will conjunct Saturn. It will sextile Neptune. It will square Mars. It will conjunct Pluto and sextile Mercury in retrograde. So I'm not worried too much about the sextile to Neptune and to Mercury, because that usually is a smooth flow of the energy of intuition and being able to communicate and use the mind well. So that part doesn't make me, you know, get a little concerned. But what does concern me is when the moon conjuncts both Saturn and Pluto in the same day, at the same time it's squaring Mars. This is a kind of energy we're going to see repeated for us throughout 2020, where Mars is squaring the planets that are in Capricorn and opposing the planets that are going to be in Libra, and also squaring Cancer. So we have, especially now with Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn, we have this destruction and reconstruction energy going on, both in our personal lives, but we see it splashed out on the bigger stage of the world. And there may be some squabbles tomorrow involved. It could even be today, as these, you know, the moon already in Capricorn may be the trigger to things. I'm not sure who's, if there's any interviews and things like that going on today in the impeachment process, but it could be kind of one of those contentious sort of days, and especially tomorrow. So we're going to want to make sure we are being response-able tomorrow, holding in your emotional reactions, or at least before you blurp out anything to someone in your world, ask yourself, is this real? And how, breathe. Just that momentary breath gives you the opportunity to respond versus react, right? That's an important thing tomorrow. I also want to remind you where Saturn and Pluto are in your human design. Saturn right now is sitting at the gate 54, which is a gate that sits on the root center. Let me show you the human design chart. If we look, gate 54 is down here in the root center, right here, right? And now we have this hanging energy. And it's an energy, it's a really powerful energy because it comprises two different circuits in your human design. And the main circuit that I think is the most important is the mystical circuit, in that we talk about that hero's journey or the quest that we are all on. Every one of your lives can sort of be represented by that hero's journey, right? You're born and you have things to get through as a child, and then you mature and you have, you know, you're off to get success and make your way in the world. So all of that energy that you live through your life could be considered your hero's journey or your hero's quest. And it might be the quest for success, a quest to build a business, a family, to have a great relationship with a partner, whatever it is, right? You are on a quest. Well, the gate 54 is also the mystical quest, the reason behind it, which is the quest for enlightenment, for ascension, you could say, or for moving up, for transcending, to use the Pleiadian word from today, right? So we have that transcending energy, that ascending energy, that moving up energy, evolving, evolution, another word that we could use, that gate 54 embodies. So with Saturn sitting at that gate, what we are literally seeing is, what is it that has to fall away from ourselves as individuals, and also from the collective, in order for us to move to the next level of enlightenment? And of course, we've seen what that's created in the outer world, some crazy divisions, some polarizing energy, crazy, crazy stuff happening, things people say that we would never expect them to say, as all of this is being brought up and out for healing and for releasing, right? The gate 54 then with Saturn there is our invitation to become enlightened. Now, Pluto, on the other hand, is at gate 61, and I find this one to be probably more difficult, and it is up here on the head center. Gate 61 is that middle gate right up here, and it is connected right now to gate 24, rationalization. So rationalizing, right? Trying to get everything down to its common denominator, trying to make sense of everything. And you can't make sense of what's happening with Pluto at gate 61 because it's in the field of psychosis. The shadow energy at that gate is that field of psychosis where everything is just so crazy. And there's no logic in psychosis. There's no way to heal psychosis with the exception of moving up into the energy of wonder and awe and sort of leaning into the more mystical and the magical, leaving some space for miracles to happen. And so it's kind of that same, you know, saying that comes from Einstein, I believe, that you can't solve a problem from the same level from which it was created. Well, Pluto keeps tempting us down there in that lower energy to keep trying to do the same things over and over and over, and they don't work. But we keep trying it anyway. That's the very definition of insanity, or literally psychosis, right? So that one is the more dangerous energy, I think, of all that's happening right now on the planet, is psychosis energy. And that gets triggered tomorrow as well, with the moon moving through the sign of Capricorn. Now, tomorrow is also, in the Pleiadian Earth energy, a two remembering day, which is Monique. It is my spiritual birthday tomorrow because I was born on two Monique, or two remembering. So you have more birthdays, by the way, in the Pleiadian Earth center or system, because it is a 260 day round of energies where our regular astrological or calendar, Gregorian calendar birthdays based on 365 days. So we have, you know, two birthdays. You could count as your physical birthday, the day you actually came into the planet, and also your spiritual birthday, which is happening in a faster rate than your physical birthday. Thank God it's that way, right? We don't need to age any faster. But the energy of two remembering to the universal energy is about polarity and seeing two sides of everything, right? Duality. And we're planted here on a dual planet. So no wonder things like division and polarization can happen, because we're learning to merge these two, to be able to see and validate that everything has two sides, a dark and a light, an up and a down, a good and a bad. Everything resonates to that duality energy. And the remembering part of this is about peace seeking, about finding that path to cooperation, about, you know, not holding yourself to, I have to have my way or else, but finding that middle ground, right? The middle ground. So the energy tomorrow, hopefully on one level, mitigates some of the other things that are tangled up over here in with the moon moving through Capricorn. But one thing to watch out for in remembering energy is being overly compromising. And overly compromising would be that you're giving in too much, right? So you've got to find a win-win. I think that's probably the better way to look at this, is win-win, not win-lose or lose-lose, right? So creating win-win things tomorrow. And tomorrow the moon also turns void, of course, for us on the West Coast. That'll happen at 10:46 p.m. For you all on the East Coast, that's already 1 something in the morning. It will be over at 3:19 a.m. my time, 6:19 for you all on the East Coast. A fairly short one, but we'll wake up Sunday morning literally with the moon in Aquarius. Again, the energy shifts, right? Shifts very quickly. And of course, Moon in Aquarius is now in Uranus's realm, and that makes things fun and quirky, a little bit unique, kind of unpredictable. It puts us in a mood to be with friends and to be networking or coming together for a cause. Guess what I'm doing on Sunday? Well, Saturday I have a football game to go to, my grandson's semifinal game, and if they win, they go on to the Super Bowl of the league he is playing in. So we're really excited about the game tomorrow. And on Sunday, we're going to a pool party. It is my youngest grandson's birthday, and we're going to be swimming and eating together and having a lot of fun. Those kinds of events are what's good for everyone on Sunday, coming together, whether it's in a group of friends, a family, or an event, but coming together energy on Sunday. High-tech genius, aha energy. We may hear of some breakthroughs in science and things over the next couple of days. It is also a very humanitarian energy, and reaching out with your money or with your time to help those in need, or to help those, for example, who are suffering in the state of California because of all of the wilderness fires or the wildfires. I don't even know that we can call them wildfires anymore. They may start in the wilderness, but they end up tearing through neighborhoods. And there may be some help that you might feel inspired to give tomorrow or Sunday. Watch out for being stubborn, being hard to relate to. That sometimes comes up also with the moon in Aquarius. And 3 creating energy that day from the Pleiadian Earth energy is the energy of loving, Lamat. Loving energy, enthusiastic, productive, competitive, and aggressive. Lots to watch out for, but Lamat in the Mayan calendar represented the planet Venus. So loving energy is related to Venus. Venus is the planet that rules love. I see a great coherence going on there. So it's a day for loving, and the 3 energy, the universal energy of the day is creative energy, creating love. Great day, Sunday, right? So of the 3 days, today's the busiest, Saturday's the weirdest, the most maybe difficult, Sunday, good day. So there we have basically the quick down and dirty of the weekend. But now I want to switch to something else. First, let's take a look at people's comments here. Good morning, Latricia. Dusa, I'm afraid I'm missing out on the moment of knowing with my splenic authority. Any suggestions on how to hone it? With a defined ajna and head, I'm all in my mind most of the time. Dusa, thank you for bringing that up. We will talk about that here in just a second. Asa, good morning. Gail, good morning. And Gail says, just joining late. Great messages and cards this week. We have had some really good cards this week. Angela says she would love a Woto if possible. Angela. I will put that down just in the off chance we get there. And Elisa. You guys, I created a monster. Woto. It's good though. I love doing card readings. Linda, good morning. And okay, Marissa, how do you rein in spending of a spouse through communication? Ooh, great questions. Okay, let's deal with these questions before I go to the next thing I wanted to share. So I have a great idea. Never mind. Hold on. So Dusa, I'm afraid I'm missing out on the moment of knowing with my splenic authority. So let's talk about that because some people are new. They may not understand what Dusa is speaking of. In your human design, here's the chart, your human design chart. We have these energy centers, right? We've got the head, the ajna, the throat, the identity center, or sometimes called the G center, the ego, will, or heart center. It's called by different names, the emotional solar plexus, the sacral, the root center, and over here is the spleen. Now, the spleen is the center we've been talking a lot about because the gates on the spleen double as fear or paralysis points in our lives. And the energies for October and November and even a couple of weeks into December have Mars or the inner planet sitting at the gates of fear. So we may be triggered to bring up fear and release it. The spleen center is the center for survival energy. It was the oldest center in the body, and it arose to keep us alive, right? It was instinct energy. When you see a flock of birds or a herd of animals that run in tandem away from some stimulus, like maybe an eagle flying overhead or the approach of a lion, if you're out in the jungles or Africa, it's because there have been a millennia of instinctual energies built in that are carried in the spleen. Now, as humans, we've evolved a consciousness, a conscious awareness, so we can evaluate, is there really danger? Am I really in peril? Is my life in danger? And we can react accordingly. Unfortunately, our lives are rarely put in that position anymore. I mean, unless you're in a dangerous situation, in a crime sort of situation, or maybe a death situation, those kinds of things do happen. But for the most part, on our day-to-day living, we're faced with fears that have become false evidence appearing real, right? And those energies can be things like, I'm afraid I'm not good enough, I'm inadequate, or of success or failure, et cetera, et cetera. And the spleen is one of the centers in your human design that can be a source of authority. When it is the source of authority, it is your intuition, your instinct in the moment that speaks, and you listen and you find yourself in the right place, right time, right people, right opportunity, and everything goes smoothly. But, and here's the part that Dusa is experiencing, is if that power center or authority center in your human design comes along with a defined head and ajna, it's very likely that you discount that intuition and you move into the head and you start evaluating, is that true? Should I do this? What's better? You know, I start the comparing and the analyzing and the pros and cons and, you know, all of these things that go on in your head, and expecting, I think there's an unconscious expectation that something's going to show up that tells you definitively that you should go that direction. And it already did show up, but it doesn't come back, right? So no matter how much thinking you do, after you have that instinct to take action or to move in a certain direction or to not do something, that's the moment. Right? That's the moment of that knowing, that instinct, that intuition, that guidance. But you can't help it, Dusa, that you have that defined head and ajna. So you're still going to be in your mind and you can still think all you want. Just don't make the decision from that thinking process. Go back to that moment that something was presented to you. I'm not sure if you are a generator or what type you are. That would help me too. If you know your type, because if you know your type, if you're a generator, for instance, or a manifesting generator, you're waiting for something in your outer world to respond to. So when you see that in your outer world, the moment you see it or the moment it's presented, your body or your intuition or your instinct speaks and it says, uh-huh, or uh-uh, I don't want that. Yes, I do want that. And then you go into your head, and then your head starts thinking about it. And if you get too caught up in that thinking about it, you may forget, or you may have missed the signals that your body was telling you. If you're a projector, that same kind of thing would happen, but it would be via an invitation. Somebody might invite you into something, which is your is the way that your strategy works. You wait for that invitation. Once you have that invitation, then you have the opportunity to use the spleen and your instinct, your intuition in the moment to either accept the invitation or to reject the invitation. But it's in the moment, right? It's in the moment. And that's the part, right? Because we've been trained, we've been conditioned to think about, right? To compare and to contrast and to look at all the data, look at all sides, write the pros and the cons and all of that. And all that will do is to confuse you even more and move you further and further and further away from your authority, which is intuition in the moment. And then, of course, because it doesn't come back, that very powerful instinct does not come back. So if you miss the signal, no matter how much you think, it isn't going to come back and give you that same validity that it gave you in the moment. I hope that is helpful for you. Dusa says she's a projector. Aha. And I see my friend Londa joined. She's also a projector. And I know there's others of you that are projectors. And you may, and you all sort of, if you have projector energy, and here's the thing, projectors are here to lead, guide, and manage, counsel. They make great teachers, but they have to be invited into the big things in their lives, right? So that means there's already a waiting game that they play. And it can be very frustrating for them to have to wait for those invitations. And in fact, they may just even forget even the waiting and they just go out and do. And then they find themselves later busted energy-wise because, burned out even, because they've just been using their energies incorrectly. Now, if you add to that the splenic authority, which speaks in the moment, and then you have a defined head and you get into your head, you can see how easy it would be to gain burnout energy. So you have to be very aware of what your authority is and not be overly anxious to say yes just because you've been waiting for a while for an invitation. And then when it shows up, you're like, yes, I want that. But your intuition is going, no, no, not a good one. Wait for the next one. So you can see it's a conundrum. And it's like a big giant puzzle that you have to solve in order to move through your life. All right. So hopefully that's helpful for some of you. And, you know, those of you who are reflectors, you don't have any worries here because you don't have any authority. The only way that you can see yourself clearly is through talking with other people, through the reflection that other people show you. And if you're a manifester, you can have authority in the spleen, but you're an initiator. So you're already usually out there doing, you just would have to listen to what's going on in your intuition before you take action. Okay, so Marissa, let me go to your question, which was, how do you rein in spending of a spouse? First, I want to say you are not responsible for reining in the spending of your spouse. The only thing that you can do is motivate that person to take a look at their spending themselves. And that's because maybe you're the one who does the budgeting. Right? Maybe you're the one who's in the know, and then communication is literally your friend. So you could say to your spouse, you know, I just want to let you know where we are budget-wise in case you were, you know, thinking of going out and spending too much money. You know, we have this amount to pay for bills, and that means we have only this amount left for, you know, discretionary spending. Use your words. But if that person is the one who's in charge of the finances and they're spending without thinking, then maybe you want to have a conversation about maybe it's time for you to take over the finances for a while. So communication is definitely the way, but you are also not able to really change another person's behavior. They have their own lessons to learn. And, you know, part of coming together in a relationship is what is the mirror that the other person is showing you, right? Where do you overspend? Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's your energy. Maybe it is money. Or where are you too austere? Where are you in fear about something around spending money? So it's always a call for you to look to your own energy, Marissa, and take a look at what does this mean for me? And another great question I'm always asking myself when I get triggered, and I've been triggered several times this week, so let me tell you, I've been on a lot of this inner work stuff, is why is this showing up in my life right now? And what does it remind me of? When have I experienced this in the past? Because the gate 44 is where the sun is sitting. And so that's dragging us, you know, very easily back into the past where the baggage is. The baggage resides in the past. And if the baggage is in the past and we're bringing it up to the present, we better be darn clear about why, what is it that it is showing us, right? Where do you have fear about not enough? Where do you have a shadow energy around prosperity and abundance? It may be that, and it's nothing to do with your spouse, but it is you. And really that's true in some respects, right? Your spouse or the people in your life are the mirrors of what is going on within you. Again, responsible for your own reactions, for your own thoughts, for your own judgments, etc. So I hope that helps you, Marissa. And Linda, okay, good morning. And Linda, da-da. Alisa is running her first 5K this Saturday. I'm excited for you. Go, go, go. Good for you. Excited but nervous. You got this, girl. Rebecca says, feels like Sunday could be challenging with the first quarter moon, especially with fixed signs. Absolutely. I didn't even look at that. Let's see. I didn't see that it was going to be... No, it's not the first quarter moon until Monday at 2:23 a.m. So it'll be early in the morning. We will have that challenge, that first crisis of action. Maybe in Europe it is for you on that an earlier time. But anyway, so challenging day Sunday, most definitely. But it doesn't have to be challenging in a bad way, right? Remember that overall, the energy at the gate 58 is what we need to keep remembering for ourselves, right? That joy, that pleasure, that fun, that being cheerful, even in the face of what seems like serious business in the outer world. So I don't mean like if someone in your family is in the process of dying that you just go in and laugh and, you know, be joyful, but, you know, there is joy in that person's life, right? Either find the things to be joyful for, the things to be happy for over the weekend, but there could still be some of that difficult energy. That's on Monday for you. Yeah, exactly. It'll be on Monday for all of us, but for us here on the West Coast, for example, that's 2:23 in the morning. For you, it's probably later in the day, but we will definitely be coming to it on Monday. Okay, so Jan is also a projector. Londa, you used to show up. I had to find you this morning. I had to re-like your page. That's interesting. I, you know, Facebook to me is really getting annoying, and there's not, it's totally out of my power. You know, these things that happen with the Facebook pages and groups. I mean, like now they've decided that they're more group happy than page happy. Well, I do everything on my page and I share to my group. So, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why it would suddenly unlike my page on your behalf. I have no idea. I have no idea. Anyway, so Gail's a manifester. Thank you for letting us know that though, Londa. So if any of you are having trouble finding me, it is likely something going on with Facebook. But I broadcast every morning right here on Living Astrology's Facebook page at 8 a.m. You can set a little reminder on your phone or on your Fitbit, you know, to let you know that it's 5 minutes to eight and Janet will be going live in 5 minutes. And I often post about between 7 and 7:30, I'm posting that I'm going to be out and what the subject is going to be. So There's also that. Londa, what's 44 in the gene keys? Ooh, good question, because that was the part that was going to take me longer this morning. I will get to that. Hold on here. Marissa, aha, thank you. The mirror part rings very true. I have some inner digging to do. Don't we all? We're all in there with you. And the fact that you're in my outer world with that same thing makes me go, where am I still resonating with that? Or, you know, what still is left for me to work on? So we're all in this together is the point. Christine, as a projector, I have no dreams anymore, but it is because I haven't been invited. I understand now. I have black and red on the brain, 6447, and throat, 4323. What does that stand for? So here's the something that's really interesting, and I noticed this yesterday with a client, is that 6447 is, let me show you on the chart. So what she's saying, let me see if I can highlight it. Oh, don't do that. 64 to 47. And then, this isn't going to work. Let's see if pink will work. 64 to 47. Ah, it does. And then 43 to 23. So essentially, she has the top three centers defined. So 64 to 47 is the line that we often call it's confusion, but it leads to an aha. Then the 43-23 is the channel we lovingly call the freak to genius channel. It is often genius expressed into the throat. So for her, she would have the head and the ajna and the throat all defined. Right. So yesterday, interesting, I was doing a reading with a woman. She had that very same configuration, although she was not a projector. And what happens with that particular setup is that a lot of energy comes in and it's almost like having a full download. And then you have to wait for that to be kind of put into its proper perspective for you. So the gate 47 is a gate where you can have epiphanies and revelation. So suddenly this full-on download that you've received suddenly makes sense. But you're also in a field in the shadow here of stinking thinking. And the gate 47, that whole channel, and we all have this in our chart, by the way. So this isn't just Christine. You may have it set up a different way, but for in this particular conversation, then it runs into a field of old static thinking. And you can get stuck, right? You can get stuck here in the certainty that things work a specific way and an expectation that A plus B equals C. And that becomes this, you know, voice in your head that's always going round and round. So the first thing I would say to you that I said to my customer yesterday was, what are you thinking about? What is in your head? When something new and exciting comes in and or it's confusing, what does it run into? Does it run into some kind of pattern? Because the alternative is it's greeted with, oh, wonder and excitement. And what does that mean? And then I take it into breakthrough energy at the gate 43, and it drives down and becomes simplified in the throat, where I'm able to then express my genius to the world, right? How I view things. But the throat energy is defined for you, Christine, but it is also one that needs to be invited out of you. It's very projector-like. It is projected energy. It is that you don't share your brilliance and your ahas and your ideas without that invitation, because other people won't see, hear, recognize, value your contribution in that way. So interesting. Looking at your chart, where does the throat outlet to any other place in the body? Because the frustration may be the throat is only connected to the ajna, is only connected to the head, and it's all stuck up here and never makes it down to the body. And if that's the case, then what you need to do is get other people around you in order to see your genius and your brilliance, to be able to share your insights and your ahas, your particular brilliance. I hope that makes sense to you. And unfortunately, you can get caught up in the head, and you need that outlet to the body energy. And likely you have authority somewhere else in the body that is what you should be listening to, and not so much about what goes on in the head. Thanks for the mirror reminder. You're welcome. Christine, I hope that's helpful to you. All right. So, 5 minutes. Okay. So let's take a look at the gene key 44. I'm going to do readings first. So let's do some readings for the WOTA people. And let's see, I counted three people that wanted readings there, and it was Laura, Angela, and Elisa. Those are the three that I'm going to stick with. And Laura, this one is for you. This is from The Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed. By the way, our friend in the morning, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, sent me a link for another deck that Colette has out now about crystals. And I thought, oh man, that is a beautiful deck. I almost purchased it and then I stopped. Ah, okay. Laura, for you, you have the card called the Fates. And it's card 17, which is an 8. Kind of a beautiful card, the Fates. We don't really get this one very often. So let's see. I'm kind of excited to see what this one's going to be about. We could guess, but let's read it instead. So 17, the Fates. The essential meaning of the card, fate, karma, acceptance that there are things you cannot change and knowing what those things are. It was right side up. So the message is the serenity prayer sums up the meaning of this card. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Woohoo! There are things in life you will never have control over. The conditions brought on by the evolution of the collective, by nature, and by your past experiences may be fated, preordained by spirit for a greater purpose you cannot understand in this lifetime. It may not be in your cards to understand why certain events occurred, but you can accept the mystery and work with what those events and your current circumstances have to teach you. This is the wisdom contained in the Serenity Prayer. Now, I don't know if this has, if your question or the reason you wanted a card has something to do with relationships or not, but I'm going to read the relationship message here as well. It says, other people are who they are. You cannot change them. The challenge is to accept them as they are and not try to make them otherwise to suit you. This is a time to look at how you attempt to mold people to fit your view of how they should be so you can remain in the relationship and avoid discomfort. What if who they are and whatever is happening between you and them in this situation is perfect from the perspective of spirit? Now is the time to accept what you cannot change, even if it means that you honor yourself, spirit, and the other person by moving on. Love unconditionally for each of us is on our own journey, and we cannot direct that of another. Be aware that this relationship is indeed fated and you are meant to evolve into a better version of yourself as a result of it. Wow. Great reminder for all of us in that card for sure. Laura, I hope that means something for you and you could certainly let us know that. Angela, you are next on my list for the WOTO, Wisdom of the Oracle, and this card will be for you. But also, I think sometimes these cards are for all of us as, oh, we get messages that are meant for us. Whoa, I don't think we've ever had this card pulled. How many months have we been doing this? This is the card number 5, and it's called Orphaned. Orphaned. Let's see what that one means for you here, Angela. Card number 5. All right, the essential meaning is a sense of loss, an identity crisis, recognizing that you don't fit in, the need to belong, and uncertainty about your place. The message is, we were all meant to have connections with other people within our families, society, and the larger culture. No man is an island, and it's important to recognize when being a part of, rather than separate from, is essential to your well-being. The issue at hand is the need to find where you fit. Be true to your core truths and values. Perhaps you no longer identify with a group or community the way you did before and need to find a new situation. You might be feeling a deep sense of loss or confusion. Address the need for belonging and know that you will find your place with others of like mind and spirit. It's okay to let go of the pressure to fit in. Not everyone will understand you. It's time to move on. Wow. I hope that's helpful for you. Anybody else out there who might think that's a card that we needed to hear about? Laura says, that's such a perfect message. And I'm thinking you mean your card. Yeah, exactly. All right. So this one is for Alisa and also from the Woto, Wisdom of the Oracle, Colette Baron Reed. We're mixing it. And what you got. I love this card. Time for a nap. And interesting, it's card number 24, which is a 6. So needing to balance perhaps something in your life. Time for a nap. 24. Have you been working too hard out there, my friend? Because it might be that's the case. Time for a nap's essential meaning says rest, rejuvenation, and renewal, temporary non-action, allowing dreams to arise. The Oracle's message says this is a time to step away and rest. Let the cares of your world go. Go into a state of non-action and allow yourself to be free of the shackles of your goals, your lists, your desires. Nothing is as important as rest, detachment, and neutrality. The overly busy mind can block you from inner wisdom if you don't step back, take a seat, and rest. Be willing to let dreams surface and ideas flow through you, absent any force or conscious direction, as you observe without engagement now. Sounds to me like if you were a generator that you are in the plateau stage, right? You're integrating, and resting allows that integration. The more you fight it, the longer it takes. So just relaxing into the energy, take a nap. I love it. Okay, so it's already 9 o'clock, and I know that I wanted to really get to the Gene Key 44 because it's where the sun is this week. It is a highly important gate because it brings us to karmic relationships, and the energy all around that gate or that Gene Key takes us into interference in the low energy, teamwork in the gift energy, and synarchy, which is a completely new sort of way of being in relationship with one another, particularly in the group or in an association or a club or an institution. And it is an important thing for us to understand, particularly in these days. So likely I will have to, let me take a look at something very quickly here. How much longer are we in gate 44? We are in gate 44 through Tuesday. I need to change the calendar. So through Tuesday the 5th, so on Monday, we will take up the Gene Key 44 in its depth, and I may even write up an article. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that, but I will try to get that information out to you this weekend. If not, tune in on Monday, Londa, at 8 a.m. Pacific time and 11 a.m. on the East Coast, and we will have our conversation around what's coming up for the next week. We'll take a bigger look perhaps at the energy of November, and we'll take up the Gene Key 44. Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. I wish everybody a wonderful weekend. Okay, Anne, I will. I can play that game. She says, how about an animal card for the group for the weekend? Aha, you have it. You guys, you know I'm so game to do this, right? If I could do oracle readings all day, I probably would do that too. Okay, so this is an animal card, a spirit animal to guide us on our path this weekend. Thank you, Anne, for bringing that up before it closed for the day. We got something good coming. I can feel her. Two cards come up. One is porcupine upside down. Porcupine, which if you look at it, there's just some kind of beauty around an animal that looks like that. And it says time for beginner mind, and it was in protection. But the other one is the transcending energies mascot, the vulture, right? Vulture spirit, which says nothing is wasted. It is card number 63, which is a 9, and it was right side up. So this ought to be fascinating. Porcupine upside down, and porcupine spirit was card number 48, which is a 12, which is a 3. So there's creative energy there, communication energy, self-expression energy. 48, Janet, comes in the 40s, not the 30s. There we go. So porcupine in, so the minor message is time for beginner mind. And in the protection message says, are you feeling prickly and defensive lately and assuming you will be hurt before you have seen any sign that such a reaction is called for? Perhaps an old sense of guilt and shame is causing you to be cynical and wary when you are meant to be open and curious. Self-protection is a good thing, but you may be protecting yourself from something that will not actually harm you, but instead will bring you abundance, happiness, and love. Remember your innocence, and you will see what you have been overlooking. Porcupine quills are filled with air, allowing a porcupine to float in water. Now is the time to let your innocent nature keep you buoyant. Love it! And 63 is, I'm not sure we've ever had the vulture. And the vulture spirit says, nothing is wasted. Vulture, not a bad looking bird, by the way. And it says, what seems hideous has its own beauty. And the recycling and repurposing the vulture does is as important as any other activity in nature that supports the cycle of life. Vulture spirit's message is that nothing is to be wasted, for nature sees value in everything that exists. What seems rotten and ugly has the potential to be transmuted into something beneficial, and you are reminded that any suffering you have experienced has not gone to waste. Wisdom and understanding that arose from the experience are talismans that will serve you on your journey wherever you go. What is decaying is only changing form and will fertilize seeds you wish to plant, turning that which has passed away into substance that will support new growth. Love that. All that you might wish to deny or discard has value and can be repurposed and reintegrated into the new you that you are becoming and the new life that you are dreaming into being. No pain was in vain and no experience was wasted, for you have the power to use it to co-create something far better. This is the miracle in your partnership with spirit. I love it. At first, those cards don't seem so great, porcupine and vulture, but we see that they really have a positive influence on us. So thank you, Anne, for asking me to do that. It's a great, you know, sign for us. And all of you are welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a beautiful weekend. Have an awesome weekend. These are the comments coming in from Gail and Laura and Asa. Leanna, my sister, nice to see you out there. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, I'm assuming that you are with Mimi now, and I hope you girls are having a lot of fun. And Gail says, vultures transforming energy. Exactly right, right? Energy can never be destroyed, just transformed. So, all right, everybody, take care. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you on Monday morning. Take care now.